All right, let's bring in Eric Smith, Raptors radio play-by-play voice here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And Eric, I was saying off the top of the show that, you know, 9 days ago when Tim Bontemps had that original report in the Washington Post that the Raptors were generating buzz as far as a Kawhi Leonard deal goes, I thought, you know, we hear this all the time that teams are generating buzz or they've internally discussed so-and-so, and nine times out of ten that doesn't happen. But since then, I mean, every day it just feels like it's been gaining steam. And then early this morning at around, you know, 4:30, it all starts coming down. And then just about 10 minutes ago, it's official. It's crazy to think that we've gotten here in just a short amount of time.
Yeah, it really is. And obviously so many layers to this, guys, and obviously the layers starting to be peeled back now with the, you know, the word filtering out. Even I tried to jump in the shower quick just before I came on with you guys and missed the tweet with the details. So I was kind of hearing it for the first time as Brian was just rhyming it off and hopped on Twitter to read Woj's tweet quick to get the details just as you were waiting to intro me. I know you're about to ask me this, so this I'll even jump the gun a little bit.
Yeah.
to kind of even further answer your point here, Rob. When you talk about how far this has come and how many different ways this has twisted and turned over the course of the last, you know, 7 to 9 days that you talk about, it's obviously ties into the Instagram post, the words that DeRozan has now put out in terms of you know, how upset he apparently is right now and the lack of loyalty. And listen, I'm not here to say he's wrong by any means. If you're told one thing and then something else happens, that's going to be a kick in the gut big time, and you're going to question loyalty. I think it's one of those things, though, where, and I said this even to my wife just in chatting with her for a few minutes this morning about, you know, everything that's happening. We often talk at times about the money in pro sports and try to relate it to real life or to our regular everyday life, no matter who we are, whether it's radio guys or somebody listening right now that's a doctor, a lawyer, a construction worker, a plumber, or otherwise. I don't know that the same rules apply to pro sports. And if this has been an ongoing discussion with multiple trade offers and scenarios and conversations, it's very likely that a week ago or 5 days ago or whenever the conversation took place in Vegas, it was very likely that, yeah, DeMar, we're not going to trade you because we can't work anything out with San Antonio. The Spurs aren't interested in any deals we have. We want to keep you, and it's just not going to work. And then all of a sudden, and again, I'm just presenting the possible scenario.
Yeah.
San Antonio calls and says, okay, you wanted to do this. We weren't. We're willing to do it now. You want to do that. We weren't. We're willing to do it now. And suddenly now, trades amp up again. Talk amps up again. Everything starts twisting in a different direction that you didn't see it going, and perhaps everything you wanted or everything you were hoping for is now starting to turn in your favor. And then decisions have to be made, and in spite of what you tell somebody to their face on Monday, things can change by Friday. And that's not to say that it makes it right. That's not to say that DeMar still shouldn't feel slighted if everything went down the way that he's saying. But I think that's just kind of, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, professional sports. And when you look at it from simply the nuts and bolts of the trade itself, there's no denying that it's a gamble for the Raptors to trade for a guy that, you know, could be an unrestricted free agent next year that walks away, and you've you know, given up one of the top two players in franchise history for this guy. But at the same time, you're also at a point in your franchise where maybe you've got to take a chance. And if you've got a chance to acquire a top five, top 10, albeit when healthy, talent in the NBA, I'm not sure that you're going to get a lot of those opportunities. And I think you might have to try and take that chance.
Eric, that taking that chance, it's a gamble. But here's the thing that I was talking about before I came into the station today. Masai Ujiri has already sold one SoCal guy on the merits of being in Toronto long term. What could he possibly tell Kawhi, a SoCal guy who, for all intents and purposes, declared, or his people have, that he wants to be in L.A. Long term, that Toronto is a place for him to be? What could Masai Ujiri possibly tell Kawhi Leonard and his posse that, you know, Toronto is where you need to be?
I tell you what, Brian, I'll answer that, but I'll also answer it by saying I don't know if any of us knows the answer to that, because Kawhi Leonard, by all accounts, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that on a personal level, I'm a Kawhi Leonard expert because I've talked to the guy once or twice in a scrum setting over the course of his career. But by anybody you talk to, even amongst the national folks in the U.S., even the, you know, working for the big networks and everybody else, they'll talk about what a different personality that Kawhi Leonard can be and how quiet he is and how reserved he is, and he's not a big talker and everything else. So I don't know if anybody really has a sense of where his mind is at now let alone a year ago, let alone a year from now. I think the biggest selling feature for Kawhi Leonard in coming to Toronto will simply be the team itself, the wins or losses, how far the team goes, and the Eastern Conference in general, if that even matters to him or to anybody else, how stacked the West is now and how much, I don't want to say easier, but how much potentially easier the East could be. Listen, you've got an up-and-coming Boston team, you've got an up-and-coming Philadelphia team, but I think there's no reason to think that if you're Toronto, especially with a Kawhi Leonard, that you shouldn't be right there amongst the best of the best in the conference and for years to come if he were to stay. And you might express a desire to go to Los Angeles, but if you start recognizing and realizing personal relationships on and off the floor that you forged with somebody over the course of a season in Toronto, when you start recognizing the conference and the potential path that you might have in this conference, when you start recognizing the organization as a whole and you know the people that you either work for or work along with and how much you like or don't like them, I think that's essentially what you're selling. At this point, you know, you're almost at the 25-year mark, Brian. I think your organization has to stand for what it is, and it's been one of the more consistent teams in the conference now for the at least the last 5 years. And with the Kawhi Leonard and with a young core that you didn't give up a major portion of in this deal, if it ultimately goes down as it's being reported now, the biggest piece you've given, and he's a good piece, is Jakob Poeltl. But you didn't lose a DeLon Wright or a Fred VanVleet or an OG Anunoby or a Pascal Siakam. You've got the flexibility with that pick. So this team has still aligned itself to be competitive with young players and flexible with young players with Kawhi Leonard as part of it. And barring the worst-case scenario that he does walk in a year, you haven't mortgaged all of the future and a massive chunk of your future in making this deal, too. So I think that alone, too, could sell itself to Kawhi or to anybody else. And there's no doubt that the comparisons will be made. You'll hear from me, and you guys are probably thinking it, and you'll be said 1,000 times in the coming days and weeks, et cetera. It's much akin to a team like Oklahoma City taking the chance, recognizing that we have an opportunity to acquire a talent to bring him here, and we've got 1 year to sell him. And that player has made it clear that he's from Los Angeles, and he's only ever dreamed of wearing a Lakers jersey, and he's going to go back home to California and to L.A. in the offseason as an unrestricted free agent, and he didn't. And if Oklahoma City, albeit, yes, I know they have Russell Westbrook, but they also have Russell Westbrook, and they're in the Western Conference competing with Golden State and Houston, and now LeBron with the Lakers, et cetera, and the list goes on. If Oklahoma City can sell Paul George on coming back to their organization, especially after being ousted and upset by the Utah Jazz and not even going as far as they wanted to go, if they can sell Paul George on Oklahoma City, then Toronto as an organization, let alone Toronto as a city, has got to be confident that they can sell their team, their city, their country to Kawhi Leonard as well.
Raptors radio play-by-play voice Eric Smith joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show. Rob Wong and Brian Dunstan in for Jeff today here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet 360. And I want to get back to what we were talking about before, Eric, about, you know, Masai Ujiri, the Raptors brass, meeting with DeMar DeRozan and telling him that he would not be traded when they met with him at Las Vegas Summer League. And that, even just reading that initially surprised me, because it's not as if, you know, Bobby Webster, Masai Ujiri haven't been around the block before. They understand that, you know, situations like this do arise where you may have to trade some guys that have a big emotional attachment to your franchise or the face of the franchise. So the fact that they would be, you know, willing to say that, you know, there is 0% chance that we are going to move right. You. I was a little surprised by that, because, you know, what does it matter if you say, you know what, we may move you. We don't know yet. If something comes along, we may move you. I mean, does that change how DeMar DeRozan feels? He understands it's a business as well, and he definitely understands now after being dealt by the Raptors. But I wonder how you think that now plays. Now that that has gotten out, that the Raptors told him he wasn't going to be traded, how does that, you know, make a Kyle Lowry feel? How does that make some of these other younger guys feel? How does that look on the Raptors as an organization who have, you know, over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, once Masai Ujiri showed up here, they talked a lot about character and having the right people here and wanting to do things the right way. Does this sort of cloud the way that you think the players and the team kind of look at management now?
Best answer I could probably give you, Rob, is I could say it could. And of course, and I think you would agree, it all goes under the assumption, and I'm not trying to discredit this by any means. I have never had any reason to not take DeMar DeRozan for his word. I've known the guy since he came into the league and have developed, I think, a good professional working relationship with the guy. And, he'll be missed greatly, at least by me, in terms of just as a person, let alone as a player, and his handling of the way he handles the media and deals with the media on on a professional level, but even on a personal level away from the microphones. I have nothing bad to say about DeMar DeRozan. That said, what conversation actually happened? What words were said? I mean, I don't want to split hairs here, but was it, we have no intention of trading you?
Right.
Well, at the time, we had no intention of trading you, but then an offer came along that we couldn't say no to. Or was it flat out, we are not trading you. You will be in a Raptor uniform in September when training camp opens. There's somewhere in the middle is probably the truth, and that's not to imply that DeMar DeRozan is not being truthful in what he put up on Instagram and what was said to him in Las Vegas. That's kind of why I tried to make the point as well of in pro sports with the curveballs that are thrown at you and the different twists and turns that you know scenarios like this can take. It's you might very well believe and be truthfully saying something on Monday that completely is different and a total 180 by Friday. I think that even DeMar DeRozan and I would say even a Kyle Lowry, throw them into the mix. The two of them are smart enough to know the business, to know the league, that if Toronto was going to acquire Kawhi Leonard, one of those two players was not going to be in Toronto. You weren't going to be able to acquire the caliber of player, the talent level of a Kawhi Leonard without giving up one of your two all-stars. So to your point, I would be surprised as well if Bobby Webster or Masai Ujiri were to tell Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan flat out 100%, you will not be traded and you will be in a uniform in training camp in September, because there's no way, even if you were giving up, in my mind at least, OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam and Jakob Poeltl and DeLon Wright and two first-round picks, I don't think you're getting Kawhi Leonard without San Antonio getting back a player that's ready right now as well, because I don't believe that San Antonio is ready to just fold up the tent and go. I think they want to stay on a competitive level as well, and they're looking to maximize everything that they can for arguably a top 5-10 talent in the league in Kawhi Leonard. So in my mind at least, there's no way that this deal is going down without Lowry or DeRozan being sent back the other way. So again, I'm agreeing with you in the sense that I'd be very surprised if there was 100% assurance given to either one of those players that they would not be moved from Toronto. I'll tell you, I don't know if there's going to be more layers peeled back to this or if the deal is done as said and that's that, because there's part of me as well that looked at yesterday's move with Lorenzo Brown being very deserving of the contract he got and the season he had last year up and down with Raptors and Raptors 905 and being the G League MVP, et cetera. But with four guards now on the team, I fully anticipated that one of the guards would be involved in the deal. And now I wonder if there will be other deals to come, given that you have DeLon Wright and Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry and Lorenzo Brown. I thought that there could have been more involved in this deal specifically, let alone now making me wonder what other trickles could come down in the coming days.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's anything more to it. Meanwhile, David Aldridge of TNT just tweeted about 10 minutes ago that DeMar DeRozan is not backing off the claim he was lied to by the Raptors in a potential trade, according to a source, and that he's extremely upset, which is not surprising. As you mentioned, we saw his Instagram from earlier today, but definitely some interesting news going on all day long with this Kawhi Leonard stuff, as it is not official, but it looks like it's going to happen. The Raptors getting Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green for DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a protected 2019 first round pick. E, we appreciate the time today, man. Thanks.
Take care, Eric.
Hey, Rob, before I go, and Brian, I'll just say this as well. I'll probably have other opportunities to say it in the coming days, because this is going to be a big, big story over the course of the next 24, let alone 42 or 72 hours and going into the camp, et cetera. But I just want to say as well, and I'll reiterate what I said a couple minutes ago. Listen, DeRozan, if he's not backing down, I've got no reason to not take him for his word. I'll just say, he's been an unbelievable person, let alone player, to deal with. And the fact that this guy is where he is in his career and his entire career to this point playing for the Toronto Raptors, he already is on, you know, Legends Row in Toronto as far as Raptors history. He's a guy who I think is back here one day having his jersey potentially hanging from the Raptors in Toronto. We can sit here and do an entire show on the argument of DeMar DeRozan or Vince Carter in terms of greatest Raptor in franchise history, and the fact that DeRozan talked at great length many times about appreciating what a Kobe Bryant did and what other greats in the history of the game were able to do in playing their entire career with one organization. And he envisioned doing that with Toronto and wanted to do that with Toronto. So, he will be absolutely missed by many fans, no doubt, and on a professional level. And I'll even say on a personal level, again, just knowing what I got to know of him over the years, He'll be missed by many members of the media, and he'll be greatly missed by people within the organization too. And this is one of those things in sports where you just look at it, and it's tough to look beyond the person and simply look at the player when you're talking about a trade that clearly makes sense for a Toronto team that over the years has struggled to lure the big fish free agents. And we've always said, and I think most fans listening have always said, that the best way perhaps to get a big fish is to get it via trade. And this is maybe why Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster had to swing at the fences for this one, because this is your opportunity. Kawhi Leonard is probably not coming to Toronto next year, leaving San Antonio or anywhere else as an unrestricted free agent. He's probably not heading this way. But if he's already in a uniform and you've got a chance to essentially sell him for a year and convince him, this might be your best opportunity to get one of those big guys if you can't get that superstar via free agency and you're not bad enough to get a potential superstar in the draft. This is the type of move you've got to make.